From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 86, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. We have a very special New York City edition of Inside the Parker. Great show for you this week. Bip Roberts, the former All-Star and current NBC Sports Bay Area analyst, joins us. He'll talk about Major League Baseball and the Oakland A's. Also, we have Foul or Fair and so much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
No one should be surprised that there was an outbreak. I mean, let's just be honest. People are quick to point fingers at Major League Baseball and what they're doing. They're testing everybody. We know there's not a bubble. This is not the NBA. There's over 800 players. And when you start talking about the staffs and pitching coaches and bat boys and all the other people, you would be trying to monitor over 1,000 people. The bottom line is, this is uncharted waters. All you really can do is test people and ask them to follow the protocol. And the idea, the Marlins seem to me to be a product of its environment because of what's happened in Florida and the outbreaks there. And Miami's a hotbed, more so than it's something that Major League Baseball did, because Major League Baseball is still being played. Tests are still being taken. People are not testing positive. So it's not like it's widespread throughout the league. Obviously, it's a concern. It's something that baseball has to take a look at and has to monitor. But this is all new. And I give baseball for trying to have a season, trying to make this work. But I don't think anybody to think that baseball was going to have it totally under control and nobody was going to get sick or anything. I think that's just far-fetched and not realistic. Baseball is trying. The players are trying. And I give them mad respect to continue to play the game. Even some teams that voted to continue to play and continue to go on to the next city. So my hat's off for baseball on trying to get us some sort of season. And hopefully the Marlins is an outlier, not what's going to happen to the rest of the league.
Number two.
Oh, yes. It was a melee in Houston with the Dodgers and the Astros. To no surprise, the Dodgers felt like the Astros stole a World Series for them with their cheating scandal. So what did Joe Kelly do? He threw out a couple of Astros, and it cost him. On Wednesday, Major League Baseball suspended him for 8 games for the actions he took in the bottom of the 6th inning at Minute Maid Park. And it is not surprised. Dodger manager Dave Roberts received a 1-game suspension for Kelly's actions. And baseball has to do this. I mean, they don't want to have, like, all these teams throwing at the Astros. Guys are going to get suspended. Remember, it's just a 60-game season. In 67 days, and you just don't – obviously, people are all upset. This would be totally different if this was a normal year. I think the Astros would be ducking and dodging a lot of pitches. But I think this sends a message to the rest of the league about how serious baseball is. Everybody knows the Astros broke a code of ethics with their cheating scandal. But I don't think baseball had any other choice but to let the Dodgers know that this is not going to happen. And don't forget, the Yankees are upset with the Astros. Some other teams are. So we'll see how this affects us going forward in baseball and whether or not the hefty suspension will curb other teams from not doing the same thing when they face the Houston Astros.
Number three.
Say it isn't so, Nick Markakis has had a change of heart. You remember the veteran outfielder had decided that he was going to opt out of the season, not play for the Braves. But you know what? He's changed his mind, and he is going to return to the Atlanta Braves. He was quoted, he said, quote, "Sometimes we all make rash decisions that are not thought out thoroughly," end quote. So Markakis, obviously the 36-year-old veteran, you know, spent time away from the team, not with his guys, and decided that he wanted to be a part of it. It speaks volumes considering that this decision comes after the breakout with the Marlins and, you know, reading the news and watching the news every day and hearing about NFL players opting out left and right, you know, and what's going on. For him to just decide that he wanted to be a part and wanted to give it a shot with baseball is amazing. But we'll welcome back Nick Markakis to the Atlanta Braves. A 36-year-old wants to play ball even during a pandemic. Hats off to Nick Markakis.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast Bip Roberts, the former major leaguer, of course, who had a lifetime batting average of .294, played for a number of teams, including the Padres and the Reds and the Royals and the Indians and the Tigers and the Athletics. And he's also a analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. What's up, Bip?
Oh, man, everything is good. I'm just home, isolated during this pandemic and just trying to make the best of it. You know what I'm saying?
Bip, it is definitely crazy. Baseball did somehow, some way, it got kicked off, you know? I mean, people weren't sure whether we were going to be able to get a season in. But obviously, coronavirus is still prevalent. Tell me about this first. Would you, as a player, would you have opted to play as most guys have? A handful have opted out, but most guys are playing. Would you have played?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I would have played. You know, if you had little kids or, you know, mama at home pregnant, maybe not. But I think as all baseball players want to do is they want to get out there and keep their skills sharp. Because if you don't play baseball, you lose your skills quickly. So I think I would have gotten out there and played. And you know, if you know my story, the game was taken away from me at one time. So when I was able to get back into the big leagues, I didn't want to give that up. So I'm pretty sure that I would have played. You know, and we just thank the powers that be, Matt Fred and Tony Clark, for coming together, finding a way to get the guys back on the field so that at least they could make this choice whether to play or not.
Bip, obviously, you know, people have some have criticized baseball for, you know, the way that this has been handled and this, you know, situation. I don't know if there's a correct way. We're all learning this. This is all new as we go forward. I know they're trying to get the games on. I've appreciated watching them. But the Marlins thing, what do you make of that with, you know, with 16 players and coaches, you know, coming down? It doesn't seem like that's the case for most teams. But in the Marlins case, maybe this is a part of the environment because, you know, Florida's had a large outbreak of this in the whole state.
Right, right. You know, and that's scary because you did anticipate what would happen from a team from Miami because we knew that was a hot spot in the country. And these guys were down there working out and they were not in a bubble. They were still living their lives, going out, doing things in the public, and not wearing masks or whatever it may be to social distance yourself. So you just knew a team come out of Miami, there could just be a time bomb ticking, waiting to happen. And as we see now, when you look at it today, there's 18 guys amongst that organization who tested positive for it. So, you know, it was to be expected. We knew that the baseball was not in a bubble, although all the teams are trying to find some type of way to keep guys away from the public when they travel. But, you know, we just knew coming out of Miami, having listened to what was happening in the news, you just knew that eventually there would be a guy to test positive for Miami. But then all of a sudden, as quickly as this disease spreads, they have 18 guys now. So, wow, you know, what do you do? What's the right way? What's the wrong way? We don't know. We're just taking it day by day. And hopefully now we can understand that if we, you know, isolate ourselves on the road or if we isolate ourselves from the public, especially as the ball players are, that's going to be the only way we get through this season.
Our guest is former All-Star Bip Roberts, who is now also a baseball analyst with NBC Sports Bay Area. Bip, how about – there are other players who are like, we're still in. We want to play. They're trying to fight through this. We don't know about the other sports. You're seeing every day, like, football players are opting out. I'd give baseball players some respect that they are trying to play in a very, very tough situation. Do you look at it that way?
Yeah, because, you know, Rob, some of us as ball players in baseball, we don't get started until like the second month of the season. A lot of guys struggle early. So you knew that guys were going to get out the box slow and it was going to be frustrating. And then you have the COVID situation going with that and, you know, how to deal with that while playing with your teammates and then going home. So there's a lot of things that are variables that we didn't have to do as players. We didn't worry about that. And then you don't have any fans to give you that extra motivation once you're out there. So these guys are dealing with something that is unprecedented. You know, I don't know how they're dealing with it, but these guys are strong mentally. I don't know how I would have dealt with that, honestly, because, you know, when you think about it, you have no fans, you're going to be stuck at home. You don't have any outlets to when you have tough days. And most of us are slow starters. So we're going to have those tough days and there's no outlets. Once you have a tough day, you can't go hang out anywhere. You can't go to a club and just relax. You can't just sit around a pool and just relax. There's nothing you can do to take your mind off of what's at hand, which is the game every day and every day and every day and every day. And now you only have 60 games. So it becomes a sprint. And if you're a slow starter, a lot of frustration can set in. So when I watch what's happening around and I see Christian Yelich off to a slow start, I just pray for him because I love to watch him play and I want to see him do well. But I also know that he's a human being. And sometimes human beings as baseball players get off to a slow start. So, you know, I just feel for guys right now when I watch them get off to a slow start.
What do you make of the black baseball players who are involved in Black Lives Matter and what Major League Baseball has done? You've seen players like a Mookie Betts and John Carlos Stanton and Aaron Hicks, you know, Neil, other players around baseball. When you see that, what does that say to you, or how does that make you feel?
Well, I like the fact that they're resilient and they're bulletproof. They don't care what people say or what people think. And I'm pretty much the same boat with them guys. If I was a player now, I'd do the same thing because, you know, the time has come and there's drastic changes that need to be made. And baseball was always one of the slowest sports to make those changes. And when you see the black brothers get together and now they're on the same page and they understand exactly all the systemic racism and the injustices that happen in our country, they're willing to stand forth and say some things. Now, back in the past when we were playing, some guys were afraid to say anything because you could lose your job. You know, back then it wasn't like it is now. And I just appreciate what these guys are doing, taking their platform, standing strong, coming together as a unit and letting everyone know, hey, we're here. We're not going to accept this. And we're going to do what we have to do to bring justice to this platform, but also bring justice in this country. Because I think right now, this is the right time to stand on that platform and speak out exactly what it is you feel in your heart. Now, whatever changes are made, those are things that have to be worked on behind the door. But right now, when you have this public access and you're on the field and you have the ability to whether stand or kneel, and you make a decision to kneel, you're letting everyone know that you're not going to take this anymore. And I just applaud these guys because, as I said, as an older guy now, I wish there was more of us who did that back in the past. But back in the past, it was easier for us to lose our jobs.
We mentioned Mookie Betts as one of those guys. Do you like him as a player? I mean, he can do everything, and he got that big $365 million 12-year contract extension. When you saw that number for a little guy, man, I know you were like, man.
Oh, yeah, Rob, I love it, man. I mean, I met Mookie a couple years ago when he was with Boston, when he came to Oakland. Tommy Goodwin introduced me to him, and I was able to take a picture with him. Because he was my favorite player, you know, a little guy that could do everything. And so, you know, the guys of the past have paved the way for these guys to get this type of money. And you just want to rejoice in it with him because he's had such a great career so far, and he's put up numbers that not many guys have done. You know, when one season he was MVP, Gold Glove, championship, and he's just on batting titles. He's done so many different things. And I really liked him from the first time I watched him play where in Oakland, he was on first base. He took off on the pitch. There was a ground ball base hit to left field and Mookie Betts scored. And I was in awe right then. I said, I've never seen a guy score on a base hit ground ball to left field from first base. So, you know, instantly I said, this is my guy.
That's so sweet. No doubt about it. All right, let's put on your Oakland A's baseball analyst hat because the A's are off to a good start, you know, in the 2020 season. And the A's are trying to make it to the playoffs for the third year in a row, which is, would be impressive, considering that they don't have the gigantic payroll, but they've been able to win games. Obviously, it's just running into the wrong teams in the playoffs, and they can't seem to move forward. But should they make the playoffs? Obviously, there's expanded playoffs. Tell me about this A's team. How good is it?
Well, they have an anchor in that lineup right now, and Matt Chapman. This kid is unbelievable. With the glove, I mean, he is probably the best third baseman I've seen in a long time. When you talk about a platinum glove, he has that. And now it's kind of coming over to the offensive side where he's more confident. Having played in the league a couple years now, he knows what he's going to face. He's hitting third in the lineup, which means he's the best hitter in the lineup, according to where you put this guy in the lineup. And so right now, he's just swinging the bat well. And he's carrying his team. Most of the wins are because he's gotten some big hits. He had a home run today, and he continues to swing the bat well. Now, the rock and the guy who should be the anchor is Chris Davis, but he's struggling right now. So he's on the bench watching today. But the bottom line is, when you can get him going with Matt Chapman and Matt Olson and Marcus Semien and Ramon Laureano, these guys swing the bat consistently, and they do damage day in and day out. The pitching staff has been tremendous. Yeah, they're giving up some runs right now, but the offense has the capability of overcoming the runs that they give up. And the A's defense right now, I believe that when you have Matt Olson and Matt Chapman at first and third base, you've got two of the best players in all of baseball. I believe Matt Olson is the best first baseman in baseball, and Matt Chapman may be the best third baseman in baseball. There's some great players out there, but I like these guys. I'm not biased because they're Oakland A's, but when I watch them play day in and day out, they have that high IQ, and it goes along with their play. And Marcus Semien, again, this is a guy who 1 year had almost 50 errors at shortstop. And last year, he was almost a gold glover and almost an MVP. So this guy continues to get better and better and better. Now, second base, they have guys coming in and out with Kemp and Pinder and Barreto and guys like that. So these guys are going to have to get their feet wet and get comfortable and become part of a solid infield. The outfield, it is what it is. Laureano at center, Piscotty in right. And then they have a bunch of guys that may mix in left field. But the nucleus of this team is one that is used to winning. They were developed, you know, in a period where they learned how to play nine innings. Bob Melvin taught them how to play nine. And then they started competing for nine. And then they learned how to win. So this team right now has the nucleus to get past the first round. It's a matter of, can they execute? Can they get off to a great start? They're notorious for slow starts. But right now, they're consistently winning some ball games. So that's a good sign right now.
All right. His name is Bip Roberts, the former Major League Baseball All-Star. And, of course, baseball analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. I covered him way back in the 90s, and we've been cool ever since then. One of my favorite people, the Bipster, Bip Roberts. Thanks, Bip.
Hey, you got it, man. Love you, man. You know
that. You too, bud. Thank you.
All right. You take care.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. Anthony, what do you got for me today?
All right, Rob, let's give it up for the old guys, specifically ones who hit bombas for that club up in Minnesota. Nelson Cruz is fresh off his best season, hitting .311 with 41 homers and an OPS over 1,000. And now the 40-year-old has picked up right where he left off, hitting 3 homers and driving in 10 in his team's first 3 games. Now on Sunday, in a 14-2 drubbing of the White Sox, Cruz became only the 4th player at 40 years or older to drive in 7 in a game, joining Jason Giambi, Reggie Jackson, and Stan Musial. Not a bad list. Now, even though we're only getting a 60-game season, hopefully at this point, it is feasible for someone like Cruz, who has 23 more homers than any other player since 2014, to reach the 30-homer mark. And if he does, not only would it be impressive in such a shortened, crazy season, but he'd be just the 3rd 40-year-old all-time with 30-plus homer in a season, joining the Tigers' Darrell Evans in 1987 and our very own Big Poppy, David Ortiz, back in his final season of 2016. Now, only 3 players have ever posted an OPS over 1,000 after turning 40. The aforementioned Ortiz, Barry Bonds in his final age 42 season in 2007, and Ted Williams' final campaign back in 1960. We could easily see Cruz joining that list by season's end. And like Aaliyah said, age ain't nothing but a number, and Nelson Cruz is proving that point daily.
And what's that? That ball is...
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's a...
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
The Marlins had 16 players and personnel test positive for COVID-19, leading to the postponement of several other MLB games. The outbreak seems to be contained to the Marlins, but if another team has a similar outbreak, is it foul or fair to say that Major League Baseball might have to shut down for the season?
Fair.
It's a fair ball.
I don't want this to be the case. MLB Commissioner Manfred met with team owners Monday following two postponed games and said that the situation is not a nightmare. He's not thinking of canceling the season at this point. He even indicated that the Marlins could return to the field as early as Wednesday. I'm not going to tell MLB what to do. It's always tough when the final decision is on you and so many jobs and lives are possibly at stake. But one more outbreak on a team like the Marlins, who are at 14 and counting between players and staff, and MLB will probably have to shut down. No baseball fan wants that to be the case. The league and the players knew people would contract COVID. Take into account that the players travel to different cities, exposure, don't have a bubble environment, exposure, and are pretty much free to do what they please after games, go home, hang out in COVID, petri dishes, et cetera, more possible exposure. Then you haven't seen the celebrations. They haven't changed. There's no social distancing going on. When a guy hits a walk-off, and that's one of our concerns on the Inside the Parker podcast from the beginning, they're all hugging. All baseball can do right now is hold his collective breath and hope COVID can be contained to one team and not become the worst-case scenario, an MLB outbreak. As a fan, I can selfishly support and praise Manfred for not shutting it down yet. Although as a scientist, I'd probably be cursing his name right now.
Now it's time for some Diamond Dust with Wish TV's Phil Sanchez.
Out of here!
He played baseball in college. Now hear his MLB knowledge.
Well, now that we have a few games in the books, there's really a lot to unpack. First, anyone who thought nobody wanted to watch baseball in stadiums without fans, basically just dead wrong. And the ratings so far prove it. Listen to this. Opening night's game between the Yankees and the Nationals saw an average of 4 million viewers, making it the largest audience for an opening night game in ESPN history and the largest regular season game on any network since 2011. Needless to say, America is starving for sports, and baseball, even without live fans, has filled that void. Now, that brings us to our next topic. Secondly, a lot has been said about the outbreak of COVID-19 on the Marlins. This after a total of 17 people in the organization tested positive, including 11 players and two coaches, forcing the Marlins and Orioles to postpone their games, as well as the Phillies and Yankees, because the Phillies were just wrapping up a series with the Fish. Well, a lot of people, including players, took to social media to voice their opinions, including David Price, who said, quote, "Now we really get to see if MLB is going to put players' health first." Price, of course, decided to sit out this season because he felt the league and Rob Manfred wasn't taking COVID-19 seriously enough. But as a reminder, MLB and Rob Manfred did propose a bubble-type atmosphere similar to the NBA and MLS. And the players and the players' union said no. So there's a lot of blame to go around on both sides. Hopefully they figure it out and everyone stays safe. And lastly, how about Nelson Cruz? Dude's 40 years old and just killing it. Cruz won AL Player of the Week after becoming the fourth oldest player in MLB history to have 7 RBIs in one game. So if Nelson keeps this up when it's all said and done, we could be pretty sure that Nelson Cruz is the Tom Brady of Major League Baseball.
Take out the papers in the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's winner is Victor Cobar, and he tweeted me this. I'm trashing at MLB and the commission for their handling of COVID. Like a pair of useless, boneless wings. Where's the structure? That's right, Victor Tobar is the winner. He wins a snapback hat from New Era. If you want a chance to win a snapback hat from New Era next week, make sure you hit me up on my Twitter. It's at Rob Parker FS1.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
The Phillies and Blue Jays will play a doubleheader. Let's play two. When was the last time you went to a doubleheader for an NFL game or an NBA game? It's never happened. Oh, it shouldn't happen in a long time. I mean, let's just say that. They used to play doubleheaders in the NBA years ago. But in this case, there will be two games on Saturday to make up for some of the games that have been lost because of the pandemic. But you don't see that very often. But you'll have a traditional doubleheader Saturday where there'll be two games for the price of one, which is pretty, pretty amazing. Even in the modern days, you've always had the day-night doubleheader where you have two different crowds and whatnot and people coming in and out. Obviously, there's no crowd involved in here. So they'll just play two games on Saturday, an old-fashioned doubleheader, and there'll be plenty of television watching for Phillies and Blue Jay fans. I commend baseball. We're not losing any games. Doubleheaders for makeup game from here on out.
This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.